Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105
Radio. Just a few weeks to go until the local elections, and thought it might be a good idea to check in with Phil Rogers to see how things are going, who's demanding our vote this time around. Morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Julian.
I guess we sort of should start nationally in a way, insofar as yesterday and to a certain extent this morning, the news being dominated by Partygate and the fines which have been handed out to the Prime Minister and the Chancellor as well. It's the age-old question, I guess, is how much does what's happening nationally affect how we then vote locally?
Well, it's certainly good. It's certainly interesting timing. A lot of people are receiving their postal votes right now, and certainly Partygate is going to be uppermost in their mind. And I expect this may have some influence on what happens in South Cambridgeshire, where the Conservatives are very much in contention. But here in Cambridge, in recent elections, they've been in fourth place, so I'm not expecting it to have so much effect in the city.
Yeah, I guess so, because, you know, nobody votes for Conservative here in the first place. It's not really going to put anybody else off, really.
Well, they get about 10% of the vote at the moment, but really the Greens have overhauled them for third place in recent years. So, and there aren't any wards where they're really in contention for the seat at the moment.
And Vance, you mentioned the Greens. That is very interesting because they did very well in Abbey last time around, and this time I believe they're putting somebody up in every available seat.
Yes, they usually run a full slate, actually, but they tend to focus their efforts on where they're trying to win, which is very much Abbey at the moment. And last time they did a bit better than I was expecting, actually, and took two of the three seats that were being contested in the all-ups, and they're trying to take that third seat this time.
Right, now, the all-up elections you mentioned, now, that was last time around, a little under a year ago. I was trying to remember, June, wasn't it, last time, because kind of got knocked over slightly?
It was 6th of May, actually.
Yep.
Some of those elections have been postponed from the year before because of the pandemic. We actually had quite a bumper set all come at once. This year, it's pretty much back to normal. We're having a third of the city council, so that's 14 seats, and there's a couple of by-elections as well.
And it's kind of the lucky losers round, really, isn't it? Because it's those people who came third in their ward in those all-up elections last year.
Yes, that's right. If you came first, you got a three-year term, second a two-year term, and if you were third, you get a one-year term. So it's those councillors who are up this time.
That's a pretty good way of doing it. Now, we mentioned the Greens. I think there's a couple of independents who are standing as well.
Yes, that's right. We've got Jason Scott-Warren, who's standing in West Chesterton. He's a professor at the university, and he's also quite a prominent Extinction Rebellion supporter. And then in Coleridge, we have Monica Hone, and she's previously stood for the Greens in Abbey, but this time she's standing as an independent. She's very much concerned about unsustainable development, but she also says she wants to be a voice for women.
And the chances for both of those candidates?
Well, obviously it's up to the voters, but I think they will have more of a struggle than Sam Davis did in Queen Edith last year, where she really stormed through. I'm not quite seeing the same signs, but, you know, we'll find out on polling day.
I guess Sam Davis had built up quite a profile for herself in recent years as a local activist. And whilst, the names of Mr. Scott-Warren and also Ms. Hone, I think I've heard their names. They've clearly been mentioned somewhere, but they don't have the local recognition, perhaps, that Sam Davis did. You know, I know Sam, obviously, through her work at Cambridge 105 Radio in the past, but she was always popping up in the papers for something happening in Queen Edith's, and you haven't seen that with the other two.
Yes, I mean, Sam does show what can be done with an effective independent campaign, and we'll have to see how these two candidates do. But it's very much, as I always say, feet on the streets that counts in local elections. It's talking to people and it's delivering literature through the letterbox.
Yes.
As well as social media presence these days.
Absolutely. I haven't done my regular paper count yet. I don't think, I'm trying to think of what I've got at home. It's very strange. You know, Petersfield, where I live, is pretty much nailed on safe Labour area. And I think Labour are the only ones I've heard from so far. Just trying to think if I got... No, I've got some Lib Dems as well, some Lib Dem literature through. But I suspect I probably won't get too much in my area, but there may be other areas perhaps where there's a little bit more. Come to that at the moment. There's a few councillors who aren't standing or standing down, so that presumably is going to have a bit of an impact.
Yes, so in Abbey, Haff Davis, who's the Labour councillor there, she's not re-standing. Michael Bond for the Lib Dems in East Chesterton, he's standing down as well. And also Marcus Gehring, who's been councillor in Newnham for quite a number of years. And we've also got these two by-elections. So Karina O'Reilly, who has been on the council for about 11 years, she's actually moved away to Lincoln. And Mike Sargent in West Chesterton, who's a very well-known name there, he's standing down now.
Yeah, a couple of very well-known names on that. So look, let's look at the makeup of things. At the moment, we have a Labour council in charge of the Guildhall. Is that likely to change at all?
Well, at the moment, Labour have got about two-thirds of the seats, 27 Labour, 12 Lib Dems, 2 Greens and the 1 Independent. And so this time there's 10 Labour seats and 6 Lib Dem seats, each seats up. And realistically, Labour are in very good position to retain control. It would be a pretty remarkable upheaval if anything else happened. But these things are always fought over a number of years. So there'll be local elections every year for a third of the seats. So the Lib Dems will hope to make progress. We may well see gains for the Greens, and you know, who knows? We could have a wildcard result as well.
That's always exciting on the morning after the night before. We mentioned Abbey as a sort of battleground between Labour and the Greens. Now, East and West Chesterton—that's a potential area of interest, I think.
Yes, that's right. They both had split results in the all-ups with some Labour, some Lib Dem wins. And in fact, that was also the case in Market and Castle. And I think Market is probably the Lib Dems will hope to get that back this time, but we'll have to see what happens. But those are the sort of main areas of contention. There's a number of seats where Labour are reasonably safe, and there's some the Lib Dems are going to be fairly hopeful about. But it's basically East and West Chesterton, Castle and possibly Markets that we may see the closest results in.
And other than, you know, smiling nicely at us as they knock on our doors this Easter weekend, what are the candidates likely to be talking about? Or more to the point, what are the voters likely to be talking to them about? For example, Market, a lot of talk about redeveloping of the Market itself. Is a voter in Market going to be interested in that, or is it everybody going into the Market who are more concerned and don't necessarily live in that ward?
Certainly from the party manifestos we've seen so far, there's a lot of emphasis on environmental issues. Yes, and there's specific things like the Market redevelopment. There's also been some debates between the parties, shall we say, about development in northeast Cambridge, and also some public art issues. And in the longer term, there's also quite a lot of concern, I think, about possible changes to the road network and whether we can make it more cycle friendly, or what the balance should be between people bringing cars into Cambridge. And there's also the question of, you know, do we want some sort of road charging to improve public transport in the longer term? Those are more sort of county level issues, but city councillors certainly have opinions on those, and the parties will campaign on those issues as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Because there aren't, I believe, any county council elections this time around. And I don't, you know, it's like anything really. I kind of have to stop and think as to, oh, is this a city issue or is this a county issue? And you can imagine them just getting very blurred, both on the doorstep and in the ballot room.
Yes, and I think certainly the Lib Dems at least have mentioned the, wouldn't it be better just to have one council for Cambridge in their manifesto? So that's something they're campaigning on, and I'm sure candidates of other parties would support that to some extent as well.
Yeah, it would certainly remove a lot of the confusion. Well, thank you for that, Phil. Can't let you go without talking briefly about COVID. The numbers seem to be going down, but they're going down from a heck of a high level.
Yes, that's right. We still do have quite a lot of cases. The numbers really are plummeting at the moment, but that is what you would expect with the end of free testing, because those numbers are basically coming from people doing PCR and lateral flow tests. But, you know, it's still heading in the right direction. However, hospitalizations at Addenbrookes are up quite a lot in the last month. They're kind of as high as they were sort of back in February of last year. They may be getting to a peak right now. It's a little bit hard to tell. And obviously quite a lot of those people will just have COVID kind of coincidentally to whatever else they're being treated for. But numbers are still heading the wrong way with hospitalizations.
Do you think it's actually now the hospitalizations figure, which is at least at the local level, which is the interesting one? Because we have the ONS survey, although I think that has a lag time of a couple of weeks, which gives us a national picture, because they're testing people who both have and don't have COVID, or might not even have COVID, but they're on their test sample. So that covers off the national numbers. But on a local level, if the testing isn't happening locally, you know, the poor old ONS can't, you know, micro it down to individual areas, even a place the size of Cambridge. So is it the hospitals that we really have to look at for our guidance?
That's certainly well worth keeping an eye on. But once we get past the next few days, we'll actually be on the tests. There is still quite a bit of testing going on, even though it's not free now.
Right.
We will get to a point where we're comparing, you know, a week of non-free testing with the next week of non-free testing. So that will give some indication of whether it's going up or down.
Right, that's a good indication. I know the care home where my mother is staying at the moment gave me a call the other day. Oh, you don't need to take a lateral flow test anymore before you come in. I have to say, I took one anyway just to make sure. But it gradually, the scaling down is continuing to happen.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, this is how it's going to be going forward. COVID isn't going away. There will probably be new variants. Let's hope they're all as mild as the recent ones have been. And we're just having to live with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, Phil, thank you very much, as always, for your time. I suspect we'll speak again before election day. And is it too late for everything, for postal votes? It's that's it now, is it? Or is there still a chance of getting the postal vote?
No, you can still get a postal vote. If you haven't registered to vote, you have until the end of tomorrow to do that. You can do that online. Just search for register to vote and pick the gov.uk result for that. And also it's worth mentioning that EU citizens are entitled to vote in the local elections.
Ah, interesting. Because they can't in the national ones. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. But basically, the law continued as it was before Brexit. That's so EU citizens, also Commonwealth citizens, are of many countries entitled to vote. So you can check chapter and verse on that with the local authorities in Cambridge.
Okay, Phil. Well, thanks as always, and we'll speak soon. And it is 8:44 now.
Cambridge 105 Radio.